Steve-O.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is seismic news.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Samuel has told the 49ers he wants a trade.
Man, I got mind control over Debo.
There's only one complete player at this position like Debo Samuel, and I just said his name.
Debo.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington, senior NBA insider for The Athletic, Shams Charania, still to come, actor Colin Hanks, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes, hour number three of The Rich Eisen Show on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Great chats in hour number one with Jeff Darlington and Shams Charania of ESPN and the Athletic Stadium, respectively. Jeff, about the Debo scoop that he had yesterday that Debo wants out. Something that apparently he told the 49ers a while ago that they've been chewing on for a bit. And then we had Shams on, and he was the one who reported yesterday Jay Wright was thinking of retiring, and then he did from Villanova, and he says he's not going to be coaching in the NBA, Shams said. And he also gave us some updates on Luka. He thinks Luka returns this weekend. He said definitely game four for Ben Simmons in a series that's getting a little out of hand for the Nets. Celtics up 2-0 in that one. Mentioned that Zion's definitely not coming back. We found out Devin Booker's out for at least 2 to 3 weeks from Woj of ESPN. So that's what's all going on. That's what's up here in hour number three of this program. Colin,
what's up?
Thank you very much, Chance. Colin Hanks is joining us shortly. Love this guy. And he is going to be out here to talk about the new limited series, The Offer, that is going to be available. First three episodes to be streaming next week, draft week, on Paramount Plus. New episodes will then drop weekly on Thursdays, a 10-episode limited series on the making of The Godfather. Come on now. So lots to talk about with Colin Hanks on this program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Tonight's games, you've got Minnesota trying to go up 2-1 on Memphis with their first home game of this series that's tied at one apiece. Dallas is at Utah trying to draw blood on the road. And Luka is iffy for tonight's game.
Game time.
He's Luka-ish. And then my Warriors in Denver.
Oh, your beloved Warriors.
Well, you know what? I picked them to win the whole shooting match prior to the season. And I also, you know, what the interesting thing that Sham said is that maybe Ben Simmons is going to come off the bench with a minutes restriction, similar to what Curry's doing right now. Only difference is outside of just the obvious greatness of Steph Curry. The Warriors have got Jordan Poole to make that kind of all cash. And last night, Kyrie and Durant went 8 for 30 from the field.
That's a shame.
They were minus 19 combined on the plus minus. 8 for 30. Now, Marcus Smart is putting that glove on, right? Because you saw, you know, he put his, you know, he's looking at his hand. That's his glove. And you saw who is the one who presented him with the Defensive Player of the Year trophy.
It was the actual glove.
Yeah,
glove.
Gary Payton showed up in Boston to surprise him with the Defensive Player of the Year award.
Gary Payton was the last guard to win the award.
Understood. Oh, I know that. Yeah. But I'm just pointing out how he's shutting it down.
Shutting it down.
And we didn't even talk about the Bulls beating the Bucks. 41 from DeMar DeRozan. None from three. That is an old school.
That is mid-'80s.
I didn't watch most of the game. Was there a set shot? Did he take a set shot?
They passed it five times before shooting.
Did they run the picket fence?
Yeah, and then, bank it. He banked all of his shots.
Afterwards, DeMar DeRozan said Giannis was chewing dentine.
Well done.
What's going on with Chris Middleton, Chris?
Oh, man. A reporter for WIS 12 in Wisconsin saying that Middleton's out 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh, man.
Not confirmed yet by any of the big national guys.
And it's not good.
Just that's out there that now is, oh. I guess that's the timetable we're looking at.
Oh, my word. Too many injuries in these playoffs. Yeah, you know what? They should just sit Zion.
They don't repeat without Middleton. So
that's true.
They cannot win the title without Middleton.
That's
absolutely
a fact.
Not.
That's a fact. That's
I don't know if they beat the Bulls without Chris Middleton.
I would,
it is going
I'd agree
to be
with that
tough.
Assessment.
It's going to be tough.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. So we had Jeff Darlington on in hour number three, and hour number one, pardon me. And the question about why does Debo want out and why are the differences in his mind between him and the 49ers so irreconcilable? You know, is it his usage as a running back more than he was as a wide receiver? I mean, we played a soundbite that he said when he was in his one appearance during last season on this program, late November, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, when he came on, and he was just the leading rusher for the 49ers in a win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he said he preferred catching it and running with the ball than just running it. And so he also didn't have much to say on the subject matter as they were going on that playoff run. Telling you, I'm sure you and all the Cowboy fans are sitting out there saying, where was this dissension on his usage when we could have used that sort of dissension instead of them coming out of the locker room like they were going to Mardi Gras with looking for business. And the Cowboys apparently came out nervous. You remember that?
Yeah, it was like they had already played two quarters and we just stepped out in the field.
And you're like, where was that iffiness on that subject matter? And I'm sure the Packers fans who watched Debo pick up a third and long in the Lambeau snow, like, well, how come he wasn't complaining about touching the ball as a running back there? Then as he ran one in on the Rams in the NFC Championship game, that was on a pass. But I mean, he led the 49ers in the NFC Championship game in rushing yards too. Mm-hmm. Where was his complaints on all that? And so maybe the most irreconcilable difference is. What we're also hearing is he doesn't want to play on the West Coast anymore. He's from Carolina. He wants to play in closer to home. And that's one thing the Niners cannot accommodate is moving their franchise to accommodate him. And then there's the business aspect of it. There's the money. And we talked about this two days ago, is that the wide receiver market in the NFL, you've got not one, not two, but three incredibly talented, difference-making receivers whose contracts are up at the end of this upcoming season because they were drafted in the second round outside of the first round where there's a fifth year of contractual control. This is their fourth year in the NFL, and these teams need to pay these guys now unless you let them walk onto the field as difference-making, potentially generationally talented wide receivers playing for less than market value. And without the safety net of a long-term contract, you're going to send them out there and tell them tough, or these guys are going to get paid. And then the question is, how do you pay these guys? Because Davante Adams just got paid, and Tyreek Hill got his change of scenery and got paid, and Stephon Diggs got paid, but they're not just 3 years into the league. It's an interesting situation. Could money be part of the Debo thing? Because what's going on with the other two wide receivers who were drafted alongside Debo Samuel in that 2018 draft in DK Metcalf and AJ Brown? Now, DK, we don't know, right? Is it possible that the Seattle Seahawks trade DK Metcalf? I would find that hard to believe. I think they're going to wind up paying him. I think they're going to wind up paying him, and I think he's going to stay put. Now watch, he gets traded over the next several days before the draft. And then what about A.J. Brown? We played you the soundbite the other day where head coach basically said, not on my watch, he's not getting traded.
Yeah, right.
Well, that head coach was sitting next to the general manager, John Robinson, in the pre-draft press conference in Tennessee and had this to say about A.J. Brown.
Yeah, we've had some discussions with his reps. And when he was here a couple weeks ago, I talked to him, and working through that. Not going to get into any details with contract negotiations. Never have really done that. But we've made it public about how we feel about AJ and how we wanted to be a part of this football team.
Is there any chance that AJ could be traded between now and
then? I think I've spoke on that several times now. So. Do not foresee that happening.
Do not foresee that happening, meaning we're trading A.J. Brown before the draft. Now, of course, that's the general manager talk of do not foresee that happening. that's that's part of the same. It's part of the same. Yeah. It can potentially be part of the same songbook as No Intention of Trading Him, which is what Pete Carroll said about Russell Wilson. Let's get this accurately, about a week and a half before actually trading Russell Wilson.
No plans to, not expected to.
But this is it, man. Do you pay this guy the amount of money that Davante Adams just got after just 3 years in the league? After 3 years in the league in which he did not, his availability was not his best ability on those certain weeks? Do you give that guy that money? That's the issue that's going on in the NFL right now. Do you pay a fourth-year receiver, like somebody who has gotten all the accolades and all the records that he had in Green Bay, like Davante Adams? Do you do that? Because these guys are going to want that. And it's tough to sit there and say that their production isn't as, you know, in the same area code of Davante Adams's. That's what's happening right now, I think. Unless A.J. Brown wants to play closer to home and he can't. He wants to get out. I don't know.
I think I don't.
I pay Debo. I pay DK, I think, real hard because A.J. Brown just, he's gotten hurt. Yeah. Or do you don't count that against him?
Make him prove it this year.
But again, if anybody who knows that A.J. Brown can make a difference in a game, it's the San Francisco 49ers who lost that Thursday night game in Tennessee because he came back when everybody thought he was still going to be out hurt, and A.J. Brown killed it, crushed it. This is what's all at stake right now. So, now what's going on with our fan? There's a fan out there with Mike Vrabel. Because Mike Vrabel, when he came on this program, right?
Yes, when Mike Vrabel was on, you asked him about the AFC and how it's tougher now because there's all these new quarterbacks. And
I took too long asking the question.
It was a long setup.
I'm wondering how this, what this has to do with the Tennessee Titans. He kind of barked
and then and then he said this.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
Because the AFC is tough. And I was like, wow, that would be a great, sounds like a line in a country song or something. So I started like doodling something down. And this guy, Piano Man Steve.
Heard you on this program.
Heard us talk
giving
about
lyrics
it.
To this.
Yeah, heard us talk about it. Heard the one-liner. Heard how great it was. And he's a musician. And the other day, he sent us a song that he made. His own lyrics. He's playing.
Based on Mike Vrabel's.
Based on this one-liner from Mike Vrabel. Here it is.
Okay.
In the brutal world of the NFL, behind the friendly smile of Roger Goodell, there's a battleground where the best line up to compete.
Okay.
Some divisions are strong, some divisions are weak, and some grades are peppered all around the league. But the tallest hill to climb is the AFC. Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Pat Mahomes are breathing down your neck and going for your throat. And Russell Wilson's waiting with a knife to cut out your heart. It seems impossible, but my God, maybe you'd be better off if you just had to play Brady. Only the strong survive and the best start. But this time was made for the tough. They're coming for you with the force of a diesel truck.
Get ready, here it comes.
One team will be left standing after the settling of the dust. So take your heart pills now and buckle up. I said take your heart pills now. Buckle up.
Nice.
Just wait a second. Here it comes, Rich. And
hope that works for you, Rich. Best I could do on short notice. I'm off to Vegas for a week.
Steve.
I mean, I've listened to this like 10 times already. It's so great.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
That was
great song.
Fantastic.
Great
voice.
Well done, Steve.
Well done.
And by the way, can you just take that video one more time, just real quick? Also, to salute to the piano man's tip jar. Did you see that?
I did notice
that. That was the first thing I picked up
on. Those look like real, those are like real Benjamins back there.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, geez. Play us a song.
You're the piano man.
Piano man, Steve. Shout out.
Well done.
It was amazing.
Thanks, Steve.
It was incredible.
Take your heart pills and buckle up. We got to send that to Vrabel.
Got to send that,
to Vrabel.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
There you go. It's a new hit single.
Yeah.
On the Rich Eisen Show label. RES Consulting, we're expanding.
Expanding. All right. Business is expanding.
That's fantastic. All right. This man loves his music. He's made some tremendous documentaries based on music. His documentary on Tower Records is one of the best that's out there, man. Colin Hanks, one of the stars of the new Paramount Plus show, The Offer, on the making of The Godfather. This is going to be fun. Can't wait to see Colin's smiling face in a moment. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Terrestrial radio audience just returned. So, okay. This is a behind the scenes look of the way The Godfather got made, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. It is not a remake of The Godfather by any stretch.
But it's just about the making of it.
It's about the making of it. And what's kind of interesting about it, you know, whether you're a fan of The Godfather or not, if you're a fan of movies, it really shows just how many miracles it takes to make a movie. It's a miracle if you got a good idea. It's a miracle if you can write it. It's a miracle if anyone reads it. And it's a miracle if anyone thinks it's any good. Then it's a miracle if anyone gives you any money to make it. Then it's a miracle if you get the cast you want. And it's a miracle it doesn't rain on day 35, that one exterior that means so much to you. It's the essence of the film. And then it's a miracle if it cuts together any well. It's a miracle if you can get those songs you really want that tells the audience how to feel. And then it's a miracle, you know, if anyone goes and sees it and thinks that it's good, right, and then tells their friends. So any artistic endeavor is comprised of millions of miracles. And the show, the series, The Offer, goes into detail as to just how many miracles it took to get The Godfather made. Because everybody looks at it now and says, well, it's the greatest film of all time, yes, with the most incredible performances by the most talented actors of, you know, of a generation and all that stuff, which is true. But they still had to go through just as many hurdles and hoops in order to bring that vision to the screen. And so the show is sort of what they had to go through.
I mean, what you just said is it perfectly captures so much, except when you said whether you like The Godfather or not. If somebody doesn't like The Godfather, that's fighting words.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I mean, no, like, I agree.
That's like we got to throw down if that's the case.
I can't alienate half of the listening audience, viewing audience.
Well, for those who might be listening and viewing right now, this conversation, Colin Hanks, so many people are, you know, in my listening and viewing audience watching Winning Time right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is this similar to that where we're going to see stories from the past where...
Yeah, you know, I think so. I mean, I've only watched a few episodes of Winning Time, which I found to be a very enjoyable and, and very funny. Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously ours is not nearly as comedic in its approach.
Okay.
But it's definitely sort of pulling pulling the curtain back and sort of showing you, hey, you know, when you see certain things, or so like with athletes, for example, like,
yes, sir.
Like with Winning Time, you see them hit the game sinking shot, you go, oh, God, that must be so easy. That must be so great.
Right.
But you don't see any of the struggle. And that's what I think both of those, you know, these shows are, both Winning Time and The Offer, where it shows just how much hard work it goes into it, how much luck goes into it. And it just so happens that it features a bunch of names and that you recognize. And hopefully the actors that they pick to play those names resemble them just enough and sound like them just enough. And then, you know, hopefully you get all the miracles.
Amen. But you knew that anyway. Yeah. I mean, like this is, you know, anything that you're in, I'll see and watch. And then everybody else in this cast, I mean, Miles Teller, who plays Albert S. Ruddy, who was the producer, right? I mean, so I guess a lot of people are thinking, who's playing Brando, right? Who's playing Pacino? This is about the making of the film mostly, correct?
It's mostly, but it's all based on Al Ruddy's experience, who has said that every day making The Godfather was the worst day of his life. Which gives you an idea of the stuff he's got to go through on the show. But yeah, Miles plays Al Ruddy. Matthew Good plays Robert Evans, who's in that clip, who is just an utter delight. I had so much fun playing with him. And Juno Temple is in it, and Bern Gorman, and I mean, just a list of names that goes on and on. Everyone's really, it was such a fun group of people.
Terrific. Just great. And so I guess then one last question on the cast. Who plays Abe Vigoda in this? Anybody plays? There's no Tessio?
I mean,
did you read for Tessio first? You can tell me. Did you read for Vigoda first? I've never asked you that question before.
You've never asked anybody that question.
That's true.
It would work.
I don't know.
A Tessio prequel?
A Tessio prequel.
Now we're talking.
Clemenza prequel.
I will be honest. I don't think there is anyone that was cast as Tessio. Because how could you do that?
I hate to denigrate the show before it starts, but it's a missed opportunity.
You can't. It is a missed opportunity for sure.
You know.
I love you for asking that question. That's so brilliant. That's great.
You know,
it's literally been asked a million questions the past few days.
Right.
Ain't no one asked that one.
Honestly, man, without The Godfather, maybe there would have been no Barney Miller. And, you know, I mean, that's who knew the gateway to Barney Miller would have been The Godfather.
I mean, sax, you know, solos for opening theme credits would have never gotten to where they did without Barney
Miller. Oh, my gosh. Colin Hanks here on The Rich Eisen Show. All right. You've heard the Debo news, I imagine.
No,
right,
what's
the 49ers, that? He wants out.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
You've heard that news.
I literally thought that it was like something that just happened
The
hour.
It hasn't advanced. Even though the NFL has advanced at an insane rate.
I don't know. Every time I turn on the TV, it says breaking news. Even if it's been 5 hours.
Right.
Okay, so nothing's really changed. He still wants out.
Well, he wants out. The question is why does he want out? And there's one issue that he potentially has that's not fixable, that he doesn't want to play in California, he's from South Carolina.
Oh.
Right.
Okay. And so it's not Jimmy G related.
No, it's not Jimmy G related. It's not quarterback related. It might not even be related to him running the ball more than catching it, where, you know, you get older faster when you run the football in the National Football
League.
It may be just as simple as they're not the Carolina 49ers. You know, so.
No, they're not. Not very humid in San Francisco.
It's not.
Maybe he just misses the humidity.
It could be that.
I
know.
He likes it a little hot and humid.
I don't know what's going on with them, but
neither do I. I would love it if he'd stay.
What a run they had, though. I don't think we've spoken since the playoffs, actually.
No, we haven't.
What an incredible run that was.
I mean, to talk about just an absolute complete shocker. I was really not prepared for that, where it was just like, oh my God, is this happening?
Right.
Oh no, it didn't happen. Okay.
I know. I know you were out of town. Would you have come back for the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Oh, I would have absolutely come back for that.
Because we were talking about it, like the ability to beat the Rams in this new facility, this new stadium, and then win the Super Bowl there would have ended a conversation similar to the way that I think Duke ended any conversation with North Carolina forevermore. Like, that would have ended a lot of conversations for the 49ers.
Absolutely. But, and, you know, I will say that, and not to change the subject or to change the sport.
Change what you wish. Go
but
ahead.
We were, as sort of Northern California sports fans,
yes,
we were still kind of just picking up the pieces after the Giants run last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were, that was just the most, it was like being in the playoffs for 3 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really every single day.
Yes.
We were checking our phones, looking for breaking news. It turns out was the same news for the last 5 hours. and then the Niners made the run, and like me and all my friends were like, I don't know if my constitution is strong enough to handle another run.
Yes.
That is literally coming out of
nowhere.
But man, it's fun. And it would have been nice to beat both of those teams, to be quite honest. but we didn't. And you want to know what? Next year.
Next year has arrived in baseball, and it looks like the Giants are going to have to win 120 games to go win for win with the Dodgers this year.
I mean, as long as the Dodgers win 119, that's fine. As long as we can win one more.
It's so far, so good, right? You're almost like win for win.
I'm actually pretty impressed
with
the squad that they've put together. I really am. I mean, obviously losing Buster Posey was just, that's just a huge sucker punch. I mean, not only for, you know, his play, you know, behind the plate and just, you know, just being the captain,
yes.
I'm sorry, Captain Belt, but you know, he kind of was. Mm-hmm. Buster Posey was the heart and soul. So to lose that it was really, really difficult. And yet, you know, very similar to last season, you get the right group of misfits together and people step up to the plate, you know, proverbially.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like, you know, we might have a good squad. But what, we're a week in?
Like 2 weeks in. And
I just saw that it said it was breaking news that the MLB season started.
It's finally happened, and Kershaw's got a pitch count limit. And
that was fun to see.
I mean, it's just
everybody tried to explain that.
Colin Hanks here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ask him our poll question about the favorite baseball movies, because today is the 33rd anniversary of the release of Field of Dreams.
If you had said Angels in the Outfield, I would say we really got to talk, guys.
No,
that in the poll?
No,
is
not,
that in the poll?
Not in the poll.
Did we skip over the Danza aspect of this thing?
The Anaheim Angels, but you know they filmed that in Oakland.
Was Tony Danza in Angels in the Outfield?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, he was right.
He was the aging pitcher who needed one last go.
Well, again, analytics would have gotten him.
All right, hit me with it. What's
all right,
the poll?
So we narrowed it down to these four. Obviously, there's 50. You know, Field of Dreams, Major League, Bull Durham, The Sandlot.
Which one would you choose?
Oh wow, I'm gonna have to. The sweet spot for Major League, Sandlot. I'm gonna admit, never saw.
Oh. Never saw it all.
Just
never
like
saw.
Me from wow. 2 years ago.
What? Yeah, never saw. That was one where it hit me in that sweet teenage years where I'm like, I'm not watching that. Even though I had no reason to watch it.
I mean, you're not busy. Just take 2 hours today.
No, it's fine. No, seriously, on your flight, on your next flight.
You know what?
Like
that might be a good one to watch with the kids.
With the kids, yes. I watched
I'll
it.
I'll do that.
Yes.
That's a good
but
way to
be,
do it.
Beware, because your kids and my kids are similar ages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And once it was over, they wanted to watch Sandlot 2.
Electric Boogaloo, which is never as good.
Turbo and Ozone.
Never
actually,
as good.
No, no, no. It was,
well, because it's rhymes. That's why they
actually,
had to
no,
go with that
it was,
title.
It was baseball. It was Aluminum Boogaloo.
Okay. Aluminum Boogaloo.
Aluminum Boogaloo. Yeah, that was the noise it made. All I will say, it lost a little bit from 1 to 2.
All right.
So be careful of that.
Not everybody.
Not Godfather, too.
I was getting... Once again, you beat me to the point.
I'm just trying.
Okay, so
it's all about promoting the offer.
Major League, obviously, high praise there.
High praise. Yeah.
Field of Dreams and Bull Durham. I'm gonna say this: it goes extra innings.
Mm.
No ghost runner.
Well, except in Field of Dreams, there's lots of ghosts.
Oh, yeah. It goes extra innings, and it's an all-star game, so it ends in a tie.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know how you can really pick between those
I'm
two.
I'm sorry, Colin. This is Sports Talk Radio, and this is a Twitter poll, so you are messing with the forces of nature
Here's the thing. They did that Field of Dreams game last year.
They did.
Which was
the Yankees lost,
incredible,
even though they should. It was great.
Regardless of which team you're rooting for.
Look at that right there. Look at
absolutely
you have that picture,
stunning.
Eddie Hoskins. Well done.
Clearly, they've got to do a Bull Durham one at some point, right?
Which is what?
At the stadium?
At the stadium.
Will they come out of the bar?
I mean, if someone doesn't hit the bull and the smoke comes out, it's no good.
You get a free steak.
Well, I know Nuke Lelouch would be Aroldis Chapman. He'd play that role.
I mean,
he'd hit the bull.
You know, KFC or some fried chicken company wants in on that action as well.
All right. By the way, you're doing an outstanding job of deflecting. You must choose. I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with Field of Dreams.
What's the current poll question results as it stands?
Yeah. So, Bull Durham, Major League, 34%. The Sandlot, again, take some time, 29%.
Wow.
Field of Dreams, 22%. Bull Durham, 16%.
Damn. So Dennis Haybert and Dennis Leary beating up on Costner movies right now is what you're saying. Dennis Leary was in The Sandlot.
Oh, he was?
He's a very young man, yes.
Well, I was going to say F you, Joe Boo, but
it's also that one, too.
He plays an a-hole stepdad, kind of.
Oh, boy. That's the...
called A-Hole, which I don't know if you remember.
Very popular.
Dennis Leary had a great song called that.
Did you just reference the famous Hank's Family Game of as NFL coaches as stepdads
inadvertently.
Oh, see?
Inadvertently.
Oh, man. What kind of stepdad Dennis Leary is? I have no idea.
Well, all you got to do is watch The Sandlot.
I don't know because I haven't watched the movie yet.
But he played a head coach of the NFL in draft day. So, you know, it's all relative.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever done a sports movie?
No.
You have not?
I haven't. I did audition for draft day, and I want to tell this story, actually.
Please.
It just reminded me of it. Because Ivan Reitman, who recently passed away, mm-hmm. was such a great man, such a nice man. I had met him on numerous occasions. I'd read for him a few times. The last time I saw him, I was auditioning for draft day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a scene in which, you know, it's one of the GMs that's supremely, like, treading water and is just out of his depth and element and calls, you know, Kevin Costner's character and is kind of, like, freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in way too hot on the panic and fear mm-hmm. that the character was supposed to have. And Ivan very sweetly said, Colin, down. Doesn't have to be that bad. And I just went, oh, okay. And in the back of my mind, I said, thank God he told me, because mm-hmm. otherwise I would definitely know I'm not getting this audition. And now maybe I've got a shot. I don't know.
Right.
But it was just, he was so sweet and so nice to very kindly let me down while also making it a whole lot easier for himself to not have to watch, you know, three more minutes of that. He was so sweet and so nice, and he was just such a...
Were you channeling Trent Baalke? Is that what you were doing?
I don't know. I mean, clearly not a stepfather, that's for sure.
That was clearly the Jaguars GM in draft day. Who was panicked and didn't know what to do.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
So he was channeling the current Trent Baalke, the actual current general manager of the Jaguars. At the time, he was probably of his 49ers.
Did you have to audition for that movie?
I didn't know. I got the role straight out.
Strictly offered.
Straight.
Attaboy.
Did I ever tell you my story about being in the scene with Frank Langella?
No.
Okay. These guys have heard this story before, but I'll tell it right here. So we had to shoot draft day on the Friday of the 3-day draft at Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah.
We were told to wear the same clothes as Thursday night because they were shooting us doing his stuff live to use as reels.
As if you didn't have enough going on.
Exactly. They said, please bring your same, come early to work Friday, bring your same suit. I'll give you a quick quiz. Out of me and Mike Mayock, who is most irritated by that? Okay, so Mike Mayock showed up, and sure enough, Ivan Reitman was a little bit late to set,
mm-hmm.
and we were sitting there like, okay, we showed up early for work. We got another draft to do. We got to go do this thing. Ivan Reitman shows up, and Mayock, his exchange with Ivan Reitman couldn't have been nicer, and told Ivan Reitman that Stripes changed midway through. The scenes weren't so good when they went to Germany. And I'm like, Mike, not everything has to be an evaluation, brother. And Ivan Reitman couldn't have been nicer to take all of that. So now it's now time for the shoot to finally go down. Mike does his lines because he's just saying them to camera. I have a whole scene to do with Frank Langella.
Yeah.
And he shows up in sunglasses indoors because that was his own personal touch. He thought ownership should wear sunglasses indoors. I'll be honest with you. I've never seen an owner wear sunglasses indoors.
Brave choice.
But it's Frank Langella. I mean, you know, my gosh. I mean, does he have an EGOT? I don't know if he's got a Grammy. He might have an EOT. I don't know.
I think he's got one, which is without the T.
Is that what it is? Okay. So,
there you go. It was a sleeper. It was a sleeper. By the way, huge fan of his. I am. I really am, but I just wanted
got it.
The glasses inside was kind
up.
Of what it was.
I
going.
Picked an
to drive home.
That was his.
That was the thing.
That was his thing. And I guess Ivan Reitman wasn't telling him to take
variations
your sunglasses off,
theme.
Frank. Okay. He looks at me and we introduce each other. He has no earthly idea who I am. None. He probably thought he's like, who is this well-appointed background artist that I'm talking to, right? So we sit down and he says, nice to meet you, nice to meet you. He goes, would you like to run through our lines? And I haven't read a damn thing yet. Because, you know, I'm hosting an NFL draft. I panicked. I absolutely panicked.
Oh, God.
And I told him, wait for 2 minutes. And I tried to learn my lines as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. And that was me doing my scene with
you know, Frank when Langella. You run lines, you can just... Look, I'm sorry. I'm not off book yet.
Oh, is that right? Is that what I should say?
Yeah, you could have done that.
Good tip.
By the way, I am going to use that line for everything from now on.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm not off book yet.
That's the term. Hold on. Let me refer to my sides. I'm not off
book. Oh, okay. Sides and off book.
No, but it's good to know that you're offer only and you didn't know that. That's great.
I'm picking up everything you're saying right now.
Very specific casting.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Did I ever tell you this story about when we shot a Life in Pieces episode?
With Kurt and Marshall?
With Kurt? Yeah.
No, tell me about that.
So we did an episode of Life in Pieces out of the Coliseum when the Rams were still playing. And we were out there all week because it was an episode where the whole family goes to a game. And so we were at the Coliseum all week long, and then we had to show up on Sunday to, like, just grab as many, like, quick things as we could with the packed stadium.
Right.
And so we had to go on, you know, to the game, and we were in costume.
Uh-huh.
And one of my costume was I was wearing a Dickerson jersey. And so it's got, you know, the number, the name, and all that sort of stuff. And we're on the sideline for a pregame, and lo and behold, who is on the sideline and who am I introduced to? But none only than Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
He clocks the jersey, and being the veteran professional that he is, he has a Sharpie with him, and he goes, "Oh, let me sign that for you."
Get out of here!
And I went, "No, you can't." Which I guarantee you, he's never heard.
Because you have to wear this on the...
I have to wear it on the show. It has to match what we've shot for the entire week. Much like Skeletor, Frank Langella. That's a role that he played.
Out of all the roles you could choose for him.
I mean, that was the first one I saw.
Okay.
But much like Frank, he had no idea who I was. He had no idea why I was saying he couldn't sign his jersey that I'm wearing. And so I just had to say, we're on a TV show and this is my costume and it won't match. And he just went, all right, kid. And then sort of like went away. He's just like, all right, fine. I get it. And I remember.
So he wasn't part of the shoot. He just happened to be
there?
No,
he just happened to be there. He just happened to be there that day. Which was insane. I was not prepared for it. And I literally looked over to Tommy Sadowski and Dan Bacadaw, and I just went like...
Sadowski's a diehard Raven fan, so he probably knew the predicament you were just placed in by Eric Dickerson.
Absolutely. And actually, both... And Bacadaw is a huge Dolphins fan, too. So the three of us were just sort of geeking out on how lucky we were in that moment.
Do you have to run? Do you got 5 more minutes or so?
I got 5 more.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about your handkerchiefs, the Hankskerchiefs, and so much more. Colin Hanks here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll take a break and be back to wrap up this show in a moment.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of 3 pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
At Colin Hanks on Twitter and at Colin Hanks on Instagram as well, here on the Rich Eisen Show, back on the Terrestrial Radio Network with my friend Colin Hanks, whose new TV show, The Offer, on Paramount Plus. New episodes are going to start dropping next week, 3 of them to start binging it, and then once a week every Thursday for 10 episodes. How is your Hankskerchiefs business going,
sir? It's going pretty good. It's going pretty good. You know, we released a series, a football-inspired series of kerchiefs not too long ago, the L-Bear 2.0 that we launched, that were based on the colorways of the California football teams, and I still included the Raiders in that bunch because I don't acknowledge the Las Vegas.
Your dad is a huge Raider fan, though.
He's a huge Oakland Raider fan.
Oh.
Oakland Raider
fan. We have tapped out of said love?
Out, yeah, oh. Kind of tapped
now
out.
Now in Vegas?
Yeah, no, he's kind of can't get into the Vegas Raiders.
Okay.
Which I understand. I can understand.
Okay, so you still can't abide the Raiders because you're a Niner guy.
I mean, I'm more of a Niners guy. I don't mind the Raiders.
But we're trying to move product. The Raiders fans are very, very,
and I just kind of like the idea of having 4 instead of 3 kerchiefs. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I just went like, yeah, there'll always be a California team.
Okay.
So
we can expand outside of California.
We could, yeah.
Unfortunately,
yeah. But,
Debo,
you know,
might want to do
the kerchiefs.
Well.
You know, they're made in California. You know, it's a sort of California pride. It's based, the kerchief itself is sort of inspired by the California flag. So I thought we did a whole line of ones that were the colorways of the baseball teams. And so at the beginning of last season, we launched one with the football teams. But it's going great. You know, we've always got we've got kerchiefs for sale over at hankskerchiefs.com.
Hankskerchiefs.com.
That's right.
So that's the way, it's not Hankskerchiefs the way I've been saying
it. I say Hankskerchiefs just to make everyone else feel a little bit more comfortable.
Why?
Because
what does that mean?
Because what some people mean? Go, some people go, Hankskerchiefs,
right,
or Hankskerchiefs?
Okay,
either or. But they're all, you know, most of the kerchiefs are named after people I know, people I love.
Okay,
there isn't a Rich kerchief yet.
Thank you for saying that. I was,
yet.
You know, there's an I in Rich and Eisen. I was going to ask
the most important part of that sentence.
Because people think of me, they think of neckwear.
Yes, of
they
course.
Always think that. You
of
know,
of course,
sure.
And so I thought it would be nice. You name them after people you know, and so it's sort of like Hank has one, Hank's kerchiefs, and then there's, you know, the Candace, the Mike, the John, the Reese, and all, you know, all these things. And so I just sort of like said, why don't we just break it up and have it be 2 words?
Okay,
but yet, you know, still love a pun and play on words.
So is there a kerchief named Anze? Or do we have that?
We don't have an Anze Kopitar one yet. No, not yet. That's interesting.
Maybe one coming up in June. Maybe.
I mean, if we can make it into the dance, that would be nice.
I think they have. Haven't they made it into the dance? Are we there yet?
Not quite yet.
Close to dancing.
Oh, there it is. There we got it.
We're getting close.
I took Coop to his first game ever, the Oilers beating the Kings the other day.
Oh, yeah? Did he love it?
He
loved the game?
He did. He did like it. He saw his first ever goal he's ever seen in his life.
Really?
Was an Oilers shorthanded goal. How about that?
Unfortunate, but kind of beautiful.
I know, that's right. And a shorthanded goal. And I had to explain to him what the hell that meant. Because God bless him, he takes everything so literally. He literally thought somebody had lost a hand, I think. That's what I think he
had. Is he familiar with hockey? Does he watch hockey?
He was not.
Hockey,
he got up to speed fast. I had to teach him about offsides and icing and stuff like
kids.
That.
That's the best way to do it with kids. I remember going to my first hockey game. I had never watched hockey in my life.
Right.
I had no idea what I was sort of doing, and my dad was like, hey, I want to take you to a hockey game. So we went down to the Great Western Forum when the Kings were still in their Forum blue and gold.
Yeah, Lakers
similar
colors.
To the Lakers, yes.
He was confused when we were in the parking lot. Somebody was wearing one of those jerseys, old school. And I'm yeah. That's what they used to wear.
That's what they used to
wear. And they used to match the Lakers colors.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, not purple and yellow.
Right.
Forum blue and gold.
Understood.
And they played the Quebec Nordiques. And both teams were so bad, they've scored like in double digits. very little defense going on at that time. And I just was absolutely mesmerized because I had never seen anything like that. And at that time, actually, not too dissimilar.
Yes.
At that time, Los Angeles was the only California team, and every other team in the Smythe division.
Smythe.
Love that name.
Yes.
The only other teams were Canadian teams. And so that is how I became so obsessed and in love with the Canadian national anthem, because I would just always see the Flames, the Oilers, the Canucks, and the Jets, the old Jets, play. And it was just like this whole other, it was like a music fan discovering punk rock. It was just like, this is not popular out that I know of, but I love it. So I'm just going to go all in. And then that summer, Gretzky came.
Showed up, and there you have it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if your other big takeaway as a kid from that moment is similar to Cooper's from that game. If you asked him his favorite moment, it's when they were shooting T-shirts into the crowd. and honestly, I just went into total dad mode. Like, I need to get one of these shirts. Like, I would have totally body checked somebody. I would have gotten 2 minutes. I would have cross checked somebody for a T-shirt for this kid.
Cooper, here's a lesson about the sin bin. Your dad has committed a penalty.
The sin.
And he's going to go sit in a glass box for 2 minutes. Be grateful it's not a major penalty. Otherwise, he'd be in
a long
for
time. Five, exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, brother.
Thanks for having
best
me.
Best to your fam. Best to your same wonderful to you. Family. And I cannot wait to see this. I know you've been talking about it for a while, and it is finally here. The It being the new limited series, the offer available to start streaming next week on the 28th of April, exclusively on Paramount Plus. New episodes there are going to drop weekly on Thursdays for 10 straight episodes. At Colin Hanks on Twitter and Instagram as well. That'll wrap it up for this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll see everyone on Friday.